Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this January 8th, 2021, Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And boy, oh boy, there's so much going on. So much going on. Quite the week to begin the new year, isn't it? I mean, this is the first full week of the new year that is 2021, and boy oh boy, does it start off heavy, right? You know, yesterday we played an encore presentation of the Wednesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports, and that means that today is my first day that I've been on the air since the craziness, the absolute pandemonium that was a Thursday at the Capitol. And, you know, I couldn't believe it. And I have to address this. You know, you guys know I don't ever shy away from major moments that occur in our nation that directly have a profound impact on us as Americans. Last summer, when we saw the murder of George Floyd, we tackled that head on. I mean, any moment that has disturbed our nation and our community, you know, I made a vow to myself here on Current Sports, I would always be honest with you guys, because I believe that with great power comes great responsibility. And it's a major responsibility for me, given the platform that I have here at WKAR's Current Sports, to express myself in a way that is genuine, honest, and one that is always preaching a message of love and healing. So yesterday was quite the opposite of love and healing in our nation, as we have now seen, I believe, with the latest news of a Capitol officer passing away. That brings the death total, I believe, up to now 5 who have lost their lives after the Capitol riots. And boy, you know, I couldn't believe what I was watching on my television. Just as you couldn't either. Those were terrorists trying to undo our democracy on what was supposed to be a normal, regular day, a traditional day in which we see our government confirm the electoral votes, naming the next president of the United States of America. In this case, on January 20th, that will be Joe Biden. it turned ugly, and it was coals. Wood was thrown onto the fire by our president of the United States of America. It was surreal. And look, I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole of giving you my political opinion. You don't care about that. If you want that off the air, you know, maybe hit me up and we'll talk then. But I'm not going to use my platform for that. I am going to just address anyone who stormed the Capitol on Thursday. And excuse me, that happened on Wednesday. That was on Wednesday, excuse me, because after I, you know, I get my days mixed up, after I filed my show, that's when I couldn't turn my head away from the television. But, you know, watching that, anybody who stormed the Capitol, I mean, this is a symbol of what our nation is all about. A symbol of hope, a symbol of freedom, a symbol of, again, our democracy. And to see rioters, terrorists, because that's what they were, break into and storm the Capitol building, it was just surreal. Offices of people who walk into that building every day and go to work and try to implement policies that they believe are going to help our nation. You had buffoons sitting in chairs right next to the desk of those individuals. Never before have we seen anything like that. On the Congress floor is what they call it. I mean, it was ludicrous. And, you know, I couldn't help but think about this as well. And this has been talked about on Black Twitter for sure. I saw many stories, multiple stories, talking about this dynamic of what we saw this week as well. When George Floyd was murdered and we saw protest around our nation due to that, we saw a heavier, more agitated response by law enforcement than what we saw at the Capitol on Wednesday. And how sad is that, right? How sad is that? I mean, they attacked the Capitol building, and there's this picture that's gone viral now that shows, I mean, a crazy, crazy heavy presence of military around the Capitol when when Black Lives Matter protests were happening around that area. And you compare that image of military on the steps of the Capitol, guns out, helmets on, to the lack of police and military presence at the Capitol this week when the Capitol was run over. This week gave us one of the most glaring examples of white privilege in America that we've ever seen. With that, I just want you all, because watching that footage, again, five people died amid the pro-Trump riots. Five people. And It's incredible where we are as a country right now, because I never thought, nobody ever thought we'd get to this point. And I just want to say, because, you know, that what we saw on Wednesday was traumatizing. You know, I woke up yesterday morning like, I mean, is that a dream? Did that really happen? And then I got on my social media feed and continued to watch video after video after video and read post after post after post about what happened. And it just still, it still doesn't even feel real. And I know a lot of parents out there had to explain that mess to, you know, your kids. And I don't know what you say or how to describe it, but please try to do your best, because we got to train up the next generation right now, because if it continues the way it is right now, oh boy, we are in for a world of trouble. So parents, please explain this as best as you can and teach them love, teach them respect, teach them about respect for our amazing country. And, you know, as we move forward, let's try to heal. Because this also is, again, happening in the midst of a pandemic. A pandemic that is killing every single day. Every single day. And emotionally, this is weighing heavy on me. It's weighing heavy on you, I'm sure. Heavy on your family and friends. And we gotta find a way to get through this. And the only way is to look toward the future and just be better human beings. That's what we got to do right now. And on January 20th, we will have a new leader of this nation. And hopefully that can also bring about some healing. And, you know, I read just moments ago that President Donald Trump, he's breaking tradition, bucking calls for unity. And he will not be attending Biden's inauguration. I mean, gosh. All right, moving on now. I just had to get that off my chest. Had to address that and just speak from the heart there, because, you know, I just, my jaw was on the floor. I could not believe, I still can't believe what we saw on Wednesday. Okay. All right, when it comes to some sports talk on today's current sports, I want to talk about Michigan State men's basketball. And you know what? I got a text from a very trusted source, but I've been trying to vet this online. But there, you know, this source that I really, really trust is saying that there is a possibility of Michigan State men's basketball not playing its game tonight against Purdue. It may be canceled, I'm assuming, because of COVID-19. I just shot a text back. I'm trying to figure that out right now. So I'll keep you guys posted on that. But as of right now, to my knowledge, the game is still on. So, you know, I haven't seen any official word from MSU Athletics. I've checked my email. I've been on Twitter and haven't seen anything. So I'm trying to figure out the source of this very trusted source that I have who texted me this information. So with that being said, we'll still preview Michigan State and Purdue as they are scheduled right now to still go at it on the Breslin Center floor tonight. We'll preview that. I also want to talk about the big news out in Ann Arbor. And that news is that Jim Harbaugh, the head coach of the Michigan Wolverines college football program, it looks as though Jimmy Boy may be sticking around for a few more years. I kid you not, folks. Jim Harbaugh is in talks with the university for a contract extension. Despite all of the losses, despite the incredible amount of University of Michigan college football fans, alum, you know, just about every Michigan fan that I've talked to has said, okay, it's time to move on. Can we please move on? But it looks as though Michigan has not and will not moving forward. Isn't that incredible? And that's really, I'm going to start there, and I'll get later on to, you know, the NFL playoffs. Wild card rounds will be starting this weekend. I can't wait for Saturday. That's going to be so, so fun. But let's start with Harbaugh. And this is what the reports are coming out and saying. Because they came out on Thursday. The Athletic reported that a new compensation package in a proposed 5-year extension could reach $4 million. Now, that's well shy of the $8 million that Harbaugh was expected to collect in 2021. So there is a major pay cut here. But again, the mere fact that these are extension talks are happening is just so fascinating to me. So, you know, he was set to enter this final year of his original 7-year contract on Monday. And that was coming from a lucrative deal that he signed back in December of 2014 that made him one of college football's highest paid coaches, despite him not having like any success. So this new deal is significantly less money. Also includes a lower buyout and larger incentives for winning Big Ten championships and college football playoff appearances that could bring him back to the $8 million mark. Now, that report is coming from the Detroit News. His compensation package in 2020 included a base salary of $605,000, additional compensation totaling nearly $5.5 million, and a $2 million life insurance policy, excuse me, that he's eligible to draw from. So, yeah, that's what we're seeing when it comes to his compensation package of last year. He's got more incentives for winning in place in his original contract, but not nearly as lucrative. But this contract extension, if this is true and this does come to fruition, and The Athletic is a very reputable sports news source, this is a contract extension that could have him under contract through 2026 and was already on the table. And there was, quote, optimism. This is coming from MLive. Optimism within the Michigan football program that Harbaugh would sign. Now, again, this could be just a proposal, and Harbaugh could reject this and say, hey, I want to leave this program. I'm tired of it. I want to go back to the NFL. Please, NFL, take me back. And there are a few teams that are interested in Jim Harbaugh. So, and especially with these cuts, I don't know. You know, Jim Harbaugh may look at these cuts and say, ah, no, never mind. You know, there's better opportunity for me from my financial standpoint to go back to the NFL and give that another try. And for Michigan fans, I know you're angry. You know, this could very well be, I mean, this could be Michigan offering him this extension that is so significantly less pay-wise than what we originally saw with his contract, so that Harbaugh can clearly reject it. This could be Michigan playing that card as well, saying, hey, man, yeah, we want you back, kinda, but not really. So here is a contract that is very cheap. Please reject it, please. This is nothing. They could be playing that card so that Harbaugh clearly rejects it and then goes back to the NFL. So there's a few ways you can read this. You know, we all know about the underachieving tenure of Jim Harbaugh. I mean, in 6 seasons at Michigan, his teams are 49-22, 34-16 in the Big Ten. You got 3 10-win seasons and a share of the Big Ten East Division title in 2018, but you failed to reach the conference championship game and to qualify for the college football playoff. Those are where the expectations lie when you are the head coach of that program. And then you throw in the fact that Michigan has struggled under Harbaugh against chief rival Ohio State. That's the big dog of the Big Ten. And Harbaugh is 0-5 against the Buckeyes and lost the last two meetings by lopsided margins. Oh, yeah, and Mel Tucker in Michigan State just beat Jim Harbaugh as well. Tucker becomes the first head coach since Nick Saban to do that, to beat rival Michigan as the head coach of Michigan State in his first try. So it's bad out in A square. Again, this is the thing. I don't know if Harbaugh is going to accept it, but if he does, oh boy, I won't understand it. You know, and if he does, I guess I can understand it from this standpoint. Look, the buyout number on Michigan's end, that allows Michigan more flexibility. That's if things don't turn around for Harbaugh and he still continues to lose games. You know, that low number does not really hurt Michigan. You know, Michigan's trying to look out for itself right now, just in case they need to make a move and move on from him. You know, I mean, Michigan hasn't won a bowl game since his first season and has, again, 0 wins over Ohio State. So, no, what is required now for Harbaugh to see this deal go through? Well, you know, where do you start? I mean, especially in the midst of COVID-19. How does Harbaugh prove that he's capable of turning this thing around? I mean, I don't think he is capable. Because at the end of the day, I don't care how many five-star recruits Michigan gets, because they still recruit well, because I think the brand just sells itself. You have to develop the talent that you do get. And Harbaugh just hasn't done that. Hasn't done that at all. So I would love to hear. I don't know how you justify this. I'm pretty sure those who do call me and leave a voicemail or shoot me a message on Facebook or Twitter, I'm pretty sure most Michigan fans out there, if not all, are looking at this and like pulling their hair out. You know, the violin is playing now. Abort ship, Michigan. What are you doing here? Ward Manuel, what are you doing? I got to hear from Michigan fans on this, because the reviews of this news can't be good. Can't be good. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Leave us a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com /WKAR News. You can tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Tweet the show at WKAR News. How are you feeling, Michigan fans? And you know what, too? I see an article from, this is coming from Cleveland.com, that is reporting that Ohio State football trolled Harbaugh's reported contract extension. And Bleacher Report, I'll just read the article here. Quote, when Bleacher Report decided to make sure the world knew about the Buckeyes' approval, Ohio State did not, OSU football did not shy away. It doubled down, courtesy of one of the most viral photos of the Sugar Bowl victory over Clemson. And the graph before that, I should read the graph before that. Per reports, Michigan and Jim Harbaugh are nearing a five-year contract extension. Bleacher Report posted its own summary of those reports on Twitter, which earned a like from Ohio State football's official account. When Bleacher Report decided to make sure the world knew about the Buckeyes' approval, Ohio State football did not shy away. It doubled down, courtesy of one of the most viral photos of the Sugar Bowl victory over Clemson. When officials were reviewing, Trey Sermon's called back 91-yard touchdown deception, ESPN's camera caught the OSU running back's knowing smirk of what the replay would reveal. What better visual to fess up to getting caught? And you got to see this photo. Trey Sermon is like, I've never seen this photo, but he's like looking at the camera like, yeah, man, you know what this is going to reveal. Like, yeah, okay. I like that. And Ohio State football tweeted that image out. And again, they like the tweet from Bleacher Report that talked about Jim Harbaugh being close to finalizing a five-year deal to stay at Michigan. Oh boy, you gotta love a subtle rivalry Twitter jab like that. Oh, you gotta check the tweet out. You gotta check it out. Go to OSU. Well, go to Ohio State football on Twitter, and you'll see the photo. It's pretty good. Pretty good, I must say. But if he does stick around, you're just going to, I don't know. What's the definition of insanity? Right? Doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting a different result. This is the definition of insanity. Right, Michigan fans? I mean, why go through this again? Why keep this dude around? Isn't it time? Man, I know there are many people working at their respective jobs who are saying, gosh, if, you know, I was Jim Harbaugh. If I can perform that poorly at my job and get that many passes, man, sign me up. Because it's gotten to the point of laughability, man. It is a clown show out in Ann Arbor now. It really is. Okay. Well, to our first break, when we come back, I want to talk Michigan State men's basketball. Right now, the Spartans are scheduled to play host to the Purdue Boilermakers. Michigan State looking for its third win in a row in the Big Ten Conference season. Can they pull it off? We'll talk. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Everybody, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And you know what? I mentioned at the top of the hour a text that I received from a very close source saying that, oh, the game is going to be canceled for today. And this is why context is so important, especially when texting. he was not referring to the Michigan State men's basketball game against Purdue tonight. He was actually referring to a big Imani Bates high school basketball game that is scheduled to be played, I believe, either tonight or tomorrow. I guess tonight would make sense from his text saying that the game will be canceled tonight, but due to COVID-19. So I don't know. But Imani Bates is, you know, I believe he's playing on national television this week, and that may be canceled. I'm trying to Google as I'm talking here. I mean, that's what happens when you get news. Here we go. Okay, so 23 hours ago, this was reported. So yesterday, Imani Bates was supposed to play against Bronny James, the son of LeBron James, Yipsy Prep Academy against Sierra Canyon, but that will not take place this weekend. The two nationally known prep programs scheduled to face off on Saturday. That's been replaced by Sierra Canyon will no longer play, and they have been replaced by Coronado. Yipsy and Sierra Canyon were originally scheduled to face each other in November, but that was postponed due to COVID-19. And it's not being reported as to why the game between Yipsy Prep and Sierra Canyon has been canceled for a second time. So, yeah, we won't see Bronny versus Imani, but Imani will still be going against Coronado. That's a school out in Nevada. So there's the update there. So, Spartan fans, breathe. Whew, hope I didn't scare you there. Michigan State men's basketball still in action tonight. And, you know, Purdue is always a tough matchup. You know, Purdue is one of those teams in the Big Ten that are, you know, they're good or solid every single year. And, you know, Michigan State right now seeking that third straight win in the Big Ten Conference, trying to get back to 500 in conference play. Purdue actually enters this matchup tonight on a two-game losing streak, losses at Rutgers and Illinois in their last two games. And, you know, Rutgers, you know, we saw Michigan State do away with them not too long ago, just days ago. So Purdue, though, will be well-rested. They had their game earlier this week postponed due to COVID-19. So let's dive into this. First off, I want to address, you know, what we are seeing right now from Aaron Henry. I've addressed it, you know, earlier this week after we saw him now, after we've seen him now put together back-to-back performances of 20-plus points. And, 20 points against Rutgers, and then we saw 20-plus points in a career high against Nebraska. I believe that was a 27-point performance. He has been going off, and Aaron Henry is establishing himself as the go-to guy for Michigan State men's basketball. And he's not just doing it on the offensive side of the floor, but also the defensive side of the floor as well. And he's been impressive. He's got to continue to be the guy for Michigan State, because I believe other than Aaron Henry right now, I don't know who you can point to as a guaranteed bucket for this team. So he has to continue to lead this squad. He is the alpha dog. Big question, though, is who is the second and third dog behind him? I don't know. Who is a consistent second, third, fourth option on the offensive end of the floor? Now, you look at junior forward Joey Hauser, the transfer. You know, he still ranks second on the team in scoring at, 12 points per game. Rocket Watts, his confidence is up and down, and he's been mostly ghost as of late. Joshua Langford, he's been hit or miss. Josh has just played, you know, to describe Josh's game, he hasn't really broken out. Josh has just been solid. You know, a good 8-9 points per game, but nothing like where he just goes out there and explodes and he's like, you know, just unstoppable. So I'm looking at those three. For me, it's Langford, it's Watts, it's Hauser to step up, somebody to step up and be, you know, that at least that second option to help out Aaron Henry, because as we move along in the season, Aaron Henry can't do this alone. We all know that. Teams are going to start to hone in on him, and they are going to make other players beat you. So I got to see more from other players, the supporting cast of Michigan State. Somebody got to step up and be Tito and Jermaine. All right, we see right now that Aaron is clearly Mike. Also, Michigan State slowing down Purdue's bigs. Michigan State was so good on Tuesday against Rutgers, right? But what concerns me is Michigan State's inside presence defensively, especially defensively. You look at Purdue, they've got a pair of big men that are just like, you know, they're serious. They are legit. You know, right now, junior forward Travion Williams is the guy in the post for them. He's averaging actually 14.1 points per game. He's listed as 6'10". He actually not only leads Purdue in points, but also in rebounds. And then you've got a 7-footer, a well over 7-footer, and freshman Zach Edey, who is throwing in another 9 points per game. But those two are playing less than 25 minutes per game, but you know, their production and size, you got to note that. Especially for Michigan State, which does not have a major presence in the paint. So take a look at that, and we'll see how Tom Izzo and his coaching staff game plans around that lack of size, lack of interior presence. The turnover battle. Michigan State, if there is anything that you want to look at and say, okay, they got to get better here, when evaluating that blowout win over Rutgers earlier this week, it is clearly the turnover situation. And it's like, I feel like a broken record. Every time I talk about Michigan State basketball near the beginning of the Big Ten season especially, I'm harping on Michigan State turning the ball over. I don't know what it is. Again, it's just a thing with Michigan State basketball at the very beginning of Big Ten conference play. They don't take care of the basketball well. They just don't. So, especially that was a brutal first half to watch when it comes to Michigan State taking care of the basketball or not taking care of the basketball, I mean. Purdue, though, they are averaging 12 turnovers per game in conference play. Michigan State at 11. So this could be an area, whoever takes care of the basketball more, this could be an area where you decide the outcome of the game right there. For me, I think Michigan State pulls this baby off, though. I think the Spartans are getting into a bit of a groove. Michigan State, despite the lack of defensive big man presence in the paint, this is still a team that is finding its stride defensively as well. I mean, if Michigan State comes out and plays the same defense, has the same defensive effort that we saw against Rutgers earlier this week, I don't see how Purdue wins. And yes, that is taking into account those big men that I just mentioned. It does not matter. They were that good against Rutgers defensively. Take care of the basketball, play solid defense, and the offense will come. And Rocket Watts and Joshua Langford, more so than Joey Hauser, because Joey Hauser has been more consistent than those two. I want to see big games from those two. Especially if, and we know it's going to happen because the scouting report is getting better on Aaron Henry. Teams are going to hone in on him more. You need other players to step up and play big. So I'm going Michigan State to win this, man. Michigan State wins this 73-65. All right, that's what I'm going here. That's where I'm going here. Okay? What say you? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News, weigh in there. And you can tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. When we come back, you'll hear from Tom Izzo as he gives brief thoughts on what could happen tonight, what he expects to happen tonight against Purdue. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Again, Michigan State and Purdue tonight. Here is head coach Tom Izzo talking about that matchup.
After a big win against a quality team, and you know, guys feel a lot better about themselves, but I keep reminding our guys that in this league, a big win could be every game you play, because I don't think there are any small wins right now. It's incredible what this league is like. We played some of our best defense this past game. And I mean that from a standpoint of what we did, not just that they missed some shots, but I was very pleased by our energy and, you know, our attention to detail. And, of course, had to be disappointed in something. So I was disappointed in the turnovers, especially those turnovers in that first half. I mean, they were borderline ridiculous. And, you know, going back and looking at the tape, there were just a lot of reasons that we did it. None of them were good, but some of them were definitely correctable. Aaron, in one phase, is playing his best basketball ever. He's had two or three games now in a row where I think he's doing the things that he needs to do. At Minnesota, he didn't make shots. Now he's been making shots. And but he's really getting the ball to the rim. And his defense the other night, playing 34 minutes and kind of playing both ends, reminiscent of a Gary Harris and type guys like that who are getting it done. I thought Joey and Rocket both had better second halves than first halves. So that was encouraging, because we need those guys if we're going to become a real good team. You know, a couple new faces for Purdue. But the record that Matt has had, the track record, has been tremendous as a coach in this league. I mean, he's done some incredible things, winning consistently. I have great respect for their program. Travion Williams, a guy that, you know, we looked at hard, and they got him, and he's a double-double machine is what he is. He can rebound. He can score. He's just becoming a great player in this league, not a good player. And, you know, unfortunately, we love Travion from Detroit, and great kid. So they return starting backcourt from last year, and Hunter and Stefanovic. And Stefanovic is a guy that's shooting 50-some percent from the three. Hunter is a very athletic, quick guard who's done a lot of good things for them. Thompson is also a pair of, you know, he makes Stefanovic and him Thompson are two guys that really can fill it up. So we're going to have to guard the three. They're among the better three-point shooters in the league. So I'm looking at it as a big challenge again, because you just came off a 9 o'clock game. And I got to tell you, that's getting a little harder. You know, when we have these games and another game and trying to get guys to prepare, and preparing for a game like Purdue is difficult because they run a lot of motion. So it's not as easy to pick it apart. You got to watch a lot of film, and they've got to watch a lot. But I think the players have done as good a job as they can in a two-day prep, and hopefully we'll be ready to play tomorrow. Questions?
We'll start first with Chris Solari.
Hey, Tom. I wonder,
coming off the turnovers, particularly so many of them were in the first half. How much do you think is that just getting adjusted to having a new point guard? Because I know you mentioned about the spacing issues and some of the things that AJ does going down the lane may be a little different than the other guys.
Well, they were, and AJ had some, but Aaron had some where he caught the ball on the wing and just traveled on the break. You know, Gabe had one of those. I mean, those are just, it doesn't matter if I was the point guard. You know, those kind of things that happen are just things that happen, to be honest with you. And those are the ones that I guess I could live with. There were a couple of one or two screening ones that, you know, are okay, but the ones that AJ created are, you know, him going a little too fast, and that's partially because of a new point guard. But nobody's going to put the pressure on you that Purdue does. So we've worked hard to shore that up. It's going to be an important part of the game, I think, on Friday night.
Go next, Kyle Austin from MLive.
Hey, Tom. Obviously coming off a great defensive performance, but maybe a little different challenge with Travion now, a guy that Xavier, I think, would have been a key for last year. Who do you kind of look to this year for guys like him to be able to slow him down?
Well, you know, in all honesty, we were pleased with the defense that Hauser and, I mean, Johnson and Harper are no easy guards. They're different. But we're going to throw the kitchen sink at them. You know, we're going to have those two guys. We're going to bring in Marcus, who did a pretty good job against them last year with his length. We're going to bring in Mahdi and maybe Julius, you know. So we're going to throw a lot of people at them. And yet what normally happens with Purdue is you start worrying about the post and they beat you from the three. So we've got to defend both. We can't get, you know, Travion's going to get some buckets. Okay, he's a great player. And we can't let that interfere with, you know, stopping the three-point shot, because eventually that's what – the twos hurt you, the threes kill you.
Go next to Lindsey Huddleston.
Hey, Tom, I want to talk about things happening on a larger scale, the huge distraction that's happened for a lot of people watching the national media. Can you talk about the power of sports right now? Sometimes it's a welcome distraction, but now it's kind of like a needed distraction for some people that – your program can allow people to lock in for a few hours and kind of get their mind off all the other things going on in the world?
It's a damn good question. And I didn't watch a lot of it because the little I watched made me sick. It was a disgrace, I think, to all of us. And in all honesty, nothing like that should be tolerated. I can only do what I can do here, and hopefully I have a platform to help others, and hopefully my players do. And I think you bring up a good point, but we're going to continue to demand and work.
All right, Tom Izzo giving just some brief thoughts on what he is expecting tonight against Purdue and what his team must do in order to pull out a dub. We'll be recapping it all on Monday's Current Sports. And it is NFL Wild Card Weekend, folks. Oh, you gotta love this. Oh, you gotta love it. I love it because you get, what, three games, on Saturday. You get three games on Sunday. I mean, it is going to be sports heaven, right? I absolutely love it. Win or go home. One game elimination, baby. On Saturday, you got the Colts and Bills at 1, then at 4, Rams, Seahawks, and then at 8, the GOAT, Tom Brady, taking on the Washington football team led by Alex Smith and his improbable comeback to the gridiron. On Sunday, you've got Lamar Jackson and the Ravens taking on the Tennessee Titans at 1. Then at 4, you've got the Chicago Bears and the New Orleans Saints, and then the nightcap will be an 8:15 kickoff time between the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Whew. And quick lines. I'll read you the lines for these games. Buffalo is favored against Indianapolis by 6 points, 6.5 points. Let's see. Seattle is a 3-point favorite against the Rams. Tampa Bay is an 8-point favorite against Washington. Baltimore is a 3-point favorite against Tennessee. The Saints are a 10-point favorite against Chicago. And the Steelers are a 6-point favorite against Cleveland. All right, so just a quick rundown there for you guys. Enjoy wild card weekend. We'll be recapping it all, folks. Come Monday, don't forget to tune in to the Monday edition of the show. It's going to be a great one. All right, but until then, I want you guys to please be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.